Hello and welcome to the Wine Appraiser Podcast, where we sip and tell.
or slip and tell.
Or we slip and tell. And share affordable wine finds. We slip and then we tell some affordable wine finds. I'm Dennis, the Wine Appraiser, and I'm here with my wife and wine tasting partner, Denise.
Hello, everyone.
She hasn't slipped yet?
Nope, not yet.
Happy New Year's, everyone.
Happy New Year.
Yeah. And we have...
champagne.
We're doing champagne on New Year's.
Mm-hmm. That's what you have to do on New Year's, right?
Yeah. So okay. I'm going to get this open. I should have started this
always already. A little bit of a challenge to open a champagne.
Is it?
Well, it takes a little longer than the wine.
I wanted to do a thing on champagne.
We are doing a thing on champagne.
Well, you were going to be asking Santa for a champagne. And he was going to say, why do you want a champagne? Don't you know you could shoot your eye out?
Oh, that is so lame.
It's from
a
Christmas story. Just like the Red Rider.
If you shoot my eye out tonight, you're in big trouble.
Hey, thanks for listening, everyone. And this show is for people that want to learn about wine and just have a little fun. We hope you'll join us each week for this wine journey. We learn something every week.
We do. And we have fun as well. Yeah.
And so if you join us each week, I think hopefully you'll learn something, maybe be able to have a little more fun with wine.
Or champagne, as it is tonight.
Well, that champagne is a wine.
Well, it's a very...
It's a type of wine.
Yes, a very specific.
It is a specific type of wine.
So it's champagne.
Well, it's a champagne wine, yeah. So anyway, we'd love to have your feedback and let us know if there's something you'd like us to taste on the show or try out. Mm-hmm. And we really appreciate listening.
Yeah, going
Follow
into
us.
The new year, so we've got
Make sure
a lot
you
of,
subscribe to the show.
Mm-hmm. Got a lot of new stuff going on.
Yeah, we're going to have some fun tonight, hopefully.
Okay, what are we drinking?
We're going to talk about that later.
Oh, okay.
We are first going to talk about... I was supposed to let that pop.
It did not pop it.
For the show.
It fizzled.
But I didn't want to... lose the bubbles.
Thank you.
Oh, we can hear it though.
We can hear it. And I'd say it's half bubbles. Okay, there we go. That's plenty.
Okay. I think we're going to talk about what this wine is, its taste characteristics and such in a little bit. But I think we are going to really like this wine. That is my prediction.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But first...
You know I have a favorite champagne, so...
Yeah, and this is not it.
No.
But you might have a new favorite, maybe.
Okay.
We'll see. But first, we are going to talk about the best show moments from the last year. We're going to talk about the last year, 2025.
Okay.
What it's was out special? The door, mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about the best show moments, mm-hmm. The worst show moments.
Oh, the worst show moments.
I'm in there. Things we learned. Mm-hmm. So let's start out. With the best show moments. Number one, and these are things that I picked out, and this is...
your favorite moment.
Yes, and this is, I know, one of your least favorite, probably.
I'm sure.
But this was just a couple weeks ago.
Opposites attract.
I just loved it when Dennis the Grape was going to be put into the crusher, and he was so excited, and he was talking about, oh, I can't wait to get in the crusher. I don't know what it is. And then he saw the opening. Oh, that looks very small.
Yeah.
And then he started yelling. And that just cracked me up. I laughed for days on that one.
Yeah, and you're still enjoying that. I could tell.
I really do enjoy that one. That one just cracks me up.
Humor level.
Nobody else even gets
it. It's not very sophisticated. Not my favorite moment.
Okay, that was my number one. Number two was our wine roll call that we did in... We did that in our October 8th show. We did the wine roll call where you were like a teacher and you were naming, you know, Chardonnay here.
Oh, yes.
You know, and Muscadet was out getting its lees removed.
Oh, yes. Oh, so these are like your favorite openings.
Well, yeah, pretty much.
I can tell these are.
They all are, I guess.
Okay.
Number three was our nice neighbors, Ned and Myrtle.
Oh, that helped with the show.
Yep, they helped with the show. That was October 1st. And then back in on May 7th, we had our Mother's Day show. We did 70 Slang.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed that one.
You did.
Yeah, and we'll probably have to do that again.
Okay.
And what was it I just told somebody? That was way out. And they said, you mean far out? And it's like, oh, yeah, that's what I that's what I meant. Okay, the worst show moment, I think this was pretty easy.
Okay.
And that is where we talked in one of our shows about wine number one, which was wine number three. And number two was number one, and we were so confusing. It was like, oh, my gosh. And we were sitting right in front of the wines. So I can't imagine listening to it. It was
horrible.
It was really... That was definitely the worst show moment.
Who's on first? Yeah. What's on second? And who's on third or something like that?
Yeah, that was bad.
It's just like Abbott and Costello.
Hopefully we'll get better.
So that definitely was our worst show.
Yeah,
definitely.
That was bad. Things we learned in 2025.
I learned a lot.
I thought the thing that I found the most like eye-opening was when we did the Barberas.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a Barbera d'Asti, which is, we found out that Asti is a town in Italy, and it's a warmer climate area than where a lot of the Barbera is grown. And it has a different flavor because of that climate.
Mm-hmm. That just that little bit of difference.
Yeah, it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that. And so when I look for Barberas now, I'm going to look for a warmer climate region.
Yeah,
we that really it's coming that. From. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Number two. That Kirkland Signature Cabernet box wine.
It was pretty darn good.
It was really good.
Yeah. Surprise, surprise.
In fact, we both picked it out as being better than, what was our bottle of wine? It was over $20.
Yeah, that night it was and, superior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we both liked the Kirkland Signature Cabernet. So I thought that was...
In a box. Yeah, so if you're looking for a box wine, yeah, that's a recommendation.
If you like Cabernet, that's an awesome,
mm-hmm.
awesome buy. Number three, which was kind of eye-opening, I always thought, you know, if you're buying a Spanish wine, they, in the past especially, have labeled their wine according to how long it's been stored in, well, how long it's been aged, for mm-hmm. one. And a lot of that goes along with oak aging. So if I'm wanting to buy a good Spanish wine, I'm probably going to look for a Gran Reserva. But what if I started thinking, what if I don't like that real oaky aged wine? I'm not bringing any big revelation, but it's like, if you don't like big oaky wines, you should get a Crianza, which doesn't have all that oak aging, mm-hmm. and it's cheaper. And it's like, just because it's Crianza doesn't mean it's an inferior wine. It's just going to be a different style of wine. So just make sure, I guess the big thing there is pick out what you like and mm-hmm. don't look so much at kind of what the ratings are and what you're supposed to like or again, just because it's more expensive, a Gran Reserva is more expensive to produce, but it doesn't mean it's going to be more enjoyable for you to have.
Right. You want to know if you like oak. Yeah. You want to know these kind of things, what that label means.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just it's just something to watch out for. Our last one was when we drank port from Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about sniffing the wine, and I just found that it's something I hadn't thought about before, but you don't want to stick your nose into a port glass to take Big Sniff because it's such high alcohol. It kind of burns your nose as far as, you know, getting flavors and things. You just want to kind of wave the glass in front of your nose and get a brief smell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. And I think my favorite things that we learned was the, maybe if you have a wine that's a little higher in alcohol, we did a show, where was it? A Cabernet. We put the Diet Coke in.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not the Diet Coke, excuse me. A Coke
just regular
with sugar.
Coke.
Yeah, a Coke, a regular Coke in there. Because you said that the Spanish sometimes do that in their culture. And wow, that was a great thing if you want to cut a little bit of the alcohol or a little bit of the dryness. So good. I just loved that idea. Especially as I get older, I don't like that higher alcohol sometimes. Mm-hmm. So what a nice trick that was.
It's just the wine cocktails. And
the wine cocktails.
Yeah, I guess that's an excellent
very
learning
enjoyable.
Thing. Mm-hmm. We've had some great wine cocktails.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of 2025,
in a
really
nutshell.
Quick.
Mm-hmm.
So tonight, our wine is a Lamanenyil.
Oh, that's a mouthful.
Blanc de Blancs, a Grand Cru Brut Champagne.
Brut Champagne, okay.
And Brut just means it's a dry.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dry champagne. It's a Grand Cru. So there's,
lots of bucks.
I think it's 17 Grand Cru villages in the Champagne region.
Okay.
Grand Cru means it's one of their like best areas for growing the grapes. This is a Blanc de Blanc, so it's that means it's 100% Chardonnay.
Okay.
It's dry. This comes from a vineyards in the La Menil sur Oge.
Okay.
Area, and that's the Grand Cru village area that this is from. They say flavors of citrus, lemon and orange, white flowers, peach, almond blossom, brioche, pie crust, biscuit, chalky minerality, and a creamy finish.
Mm.
What do you get on
this? I definitely got, I was going to say it was a flowery smell with orange, but I definitely get that floral notes with the citrus.
You haven't said yeasty.
I haven't got pie crust.
You haven't said yeasty.
Yeah, it does have
bready.
A little bit of a little bit.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Mostly I get the floral.
Oh.
That flower.
I think we have to be smelling the same thing, but okay. I guess to me, that's all yeasty, bready. Mm. That's about all I get.
Maybe I'm thinking of more.
And
of that.
I think there is some floral there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not really a huge fan of the smell.
I think the smell's fine.
Okay.
It's a heavy smell. It's a rich smell.
It's very rich.
Mm-hmm.
And a rich mouthfeel.
Yes. The bubbles just stay on your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got some acid, which I'm surprised from all those bubbles.
Champagne's known for, it's harvested early and they want it to be very bright.
Mm-hmm.
But this is also, when they produce this, it's aged, what they said is aged on the lees. So again, that dead yeast and everything else, they leave the wine in there for after it ferments.
Mm-hmm.
And it ages, and what they said was it ages for years on the lees, which usually that gives it more like yeastiness, more mouthfeel. And the other thing about this area, they said it's very chalky soil.
Mm-hmm.
So you get lots of minerality in this.
I do get that minerality in the finish.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit kind of like a dryness on the finish. I still get a lot of the, I almost say a honey or lemon finish along with that minerality, that chalkiness. Mm-hmm. Yet it's creamy and it's kind of wakes your tongue up, those bubbles.
It's very bright.
Mm-hmm.
There's good acid on it.
Mm-hmm. I have a piece of cheese here. I'm going to try a piece of bacon.
Which is so unique because for being that creamy and everything, it's very bright.
Mm-hmm.
So this, again, comes from chalky soils, and you do get a lot of mouthfeel on it, creaminess and that type of thing. And this, I know I bought it for somewhere around $48, and it's, I saw it online for $47 to $52.
I like the heaviness of heavy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yet it's got a vibrancy to it on the palate.
And I saw other champagnes from this region for $1,000.
Whoa.
So they were saying, one of the things I read about this champagne was it's a very affordable champagne coming out of this region.
I do like it.
Oh, I like it. I don't like it as well as our Queen's Champagne.
Well, it's the King's Champagne now.
I can't...
Be careful, it's the King's.
I can't remember what that was.
Polo...
Oh, Polo Roche. Mm. Yeah, yep. Polo Roche.
Polo Roche. It's a Polo little Roche. Bit more expensive, just a smidge.
Yeah.
Around $75 a bottle.
And they were actually selling that at Costco for like $64.
Oh,
at one time.
Should have got that.
Yeah, so...
You know, this is very good. It's just a little heavier, so I don't know...
Mm-hmm. Than Paul Roche, you mean?
Or most champagnes in general. This is heavy.
Yeah, I'm just not a huge fan of that aroma in there.
Mm.
I mean, again, I like it, but it wouldn't be my like absolute favorite. I love the mouthfeel. I love most of it. There's just kind of a funky flavor in my book. And I think it's yeasty, bready. That's what I take it.
Maybe it's an almond you don't like.
Yeah, there is some nuttiness to it.
Mm-hmm.
And did you try it with the cheese then?
I tried it with the cheese and I tried it with the bacon.
And this is like a Conti cheese, which is very creamy, nutty.
Mm-hmm. I like the bacon with it. It's a pretty breakfast champagne. A good breakfast champagne.
I suppose we could start drinking champagne with breakfast.
Mm. A brunch.
As soon as we win the lottery.
Bridal brunch.
Okay. What are you scoring that?
Hmm.
Let me, and tell them about our scoring.
A one is we're not even going to finish our glass. A two is it's not good. We'll drink the glass. A three is your average wine at your average price. And a four is we're going to recommend that. We're going to be looking for that on the shelf. Great deal for the price. We like it. A five is, we really like it. It's probably part of my secret stash. I might not share with other people. It's good.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are you rating?
I'm rating this a four.
Ooh.
I like it. I like it. I like the heavier feel to it. It's not giving me that champagne headache that sometimes comes on from the inexpensive champagnes.
Compared to Paul Roche?
No, it's under Paul, it's under
Paul
that.
Roche?
Paul for Roche. Me, just because it's that heaviness to it, I like the other a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. I like the flavor better, yeah.
But this is darn good.
This is very good.
Mm-hmm. And now this can be obtained at Costco if anybody wants it for the new year.
I did not get this at Costco. Okay. I got this at Wall to Wall Wine.
And what is the alcohol content?
They are normally fairly low, usually in the 10.5%, 11%, 12.5%.
12.5%?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm going to go a 3 on it personally.
What's not your favorite?
I really like it. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a good
one.
Did
you try it with bacon?
No.
That's salt in this. The heaviness...
I liked it with the cheese, too.
Mm, I like it better with the bacon.
I liked it better with cheese.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Never mind.
I like it.
Mm. But you're giving it a 3. I'm giving it a 4. I like it. And I'm not a champagne person. I like very few champagnes. Very few.
I gotta say, I like champagne.
And I do not.
I'm not a big sparkling wine fan
in
general. We have tasted several champagnes that I've really enjoyed.
Mm.
And I like this one, but I don't like it as well. I don't like it as well as the Kirkland champagne that we had.
Maybe we'll have to do a champagne comparison
sometime. Yeah.
I like this one.
The Kirkland Champagne for 1999.
Okay, I can't remember the Kirkland Champagne, tell you the truth.
We both gave it fours.
Really?
Yeah.
And I give this a four.
Yeah. Mm. This one's creamier. I just don't, there's something with the flavor that I'm just not a big fan of.
Okay. Happy New Year. Shall we do a toast?
Well, there's a few toast? More things to go through.
Okay. No toast yet.
No toast. Okay. I got to fill my glass because I did like it. I got to fill my glass.
Mm-hmm. And this just bubbles incredibly.
And then we will. The last thing we were going to talk about, two things. First, the new year. Mm-hmm. And next week, which is the new year.
Correct.
First thing is the new year. We have several things that we're going to be looking into. And this is kind of stuff that we went through this year that we found interesting, that we want to explore more, think that people will enjoy this and also mm-hmm. want to explore more. One being just a regular Zinfandel versus an old vine Zinfandel.
Okay.
Can you taste the difference between that? What do you prefer? So that's one thing. We want to explore Alsace. Okay. Alsace. Mm-hmm. France, which we really haven't got much into that. We want to look into more German wines.
Besides just, Riesling.
Yeah. Georgian wines. Georgian being over the old USSR, that area.
Oh, okay.
Which is our, that was the original birthplace of wine, the oldest wine that we had at the wine show that we went to mm-hmm. that we haven't been able to find yet. But that was a really good wine, and we want to look into that. We want to do a deeper dive into Shiraz from Australia and also look at some of the different regions in Australia. Mm, we
that's
really
a
haven't,
big area.
Yeah, and we really haven't done that. We want to look at Umbria, which is an area in Italy. And specifically, there's a Sagrantino di Montefalco, which is a very deep tannic wine. Bandol, which is a region in southern France. We want to look at that. I want to look at Santa Barbara. They talk about the Syrahs and the Chardonnays from Santa Barbara being very good. And I want to look into that. Merlots from different regions. We've only tasted Merlots, I think, one time on this show. Mm. And then non or low alcoholic wines.
Definitely. The more the older we get.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're taking a medicine or something mm-hmm. like that, you might want an alternative.
We have a friend that
can't drink wine anymore.
Yep. Yep. Because of his medication.
It hurts a little not to have a drink with everybody.
But we had a wine with no alcohol. Mm-hmm. We've had a couple. They're not bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we want to explore that avenue.
So all those things we're going to look at. We're also going to look at, again, trying to find those good value wines, mm-hmm. of which starts next week. And we're going to do a hunt for budget wines next week.
Okay.
So we got three wines. Two of them are around $10. Mm-hmm. Our third was around $20, $25.
Okay.
We're going to see, we're going to blind taste them and see if we can tell the difference.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to do one where we go to Aldi's, we go to Trader Joe's, we go to Costco, we find the same price wine, same grape, and compare.
Okay.
See what Aldi picks out, see what Trader Joe picks out for that, see what Costco is selling for that.
Okay.
Because they're all trying to please the people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. They all try to please people.
Mm-hmm. The majority of the people. See who's hitting the mark.
We can do that. You put that show together.
I will. After I'm done with my champagne.
Okay. Okay, wait. We got to say cheers.
To a new year.
Okay, cheers. And so until next time, happy wine trails to you until we taste again on the next episode of the Wine Appraiser Podcast in 2026. Ooh. Bye.